Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen now to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
The land down under has never been easier to reach. United Airlines has more flights between the U.S. and Australia than any other U.S. airline, so you can fly nonstop to destinations like Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane. Explore dazzling cities, savor the very best of Aussie cuisine, and get up close and personal with the wildlife. Who doesn't want to hold a koala? Go to united.com/Australia to book your adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30
and
minutes.
Always remind you, if you would like to be a part of this podcast, and we really would like you
we
to be.
We want you to be a part of this podcast.
Give us a call at 646-STEW-138. All right. On to our news today. The first story is from the BBC. It was a really long read by our food news standards, but really quite fascinating.
Yes.
It is about how Japan, which is known very much for its efficiency and its convenience stores, has an excess food problem, specifically sushi from the convenience stores.
Yes.
And the amount of food waste in Japan is like pretty staggering. It was like just like this deeply reported piece that I found so, so great. This reporter named Rachel Neuer basically spent like all this time in a convenience store watching people like come in and out. And because they're open 24/7, 365, they end up with so much waste because they're known for having really fresh food. And then they get rid of it at the end of the day. And it was like just like a really fascinating.
They went to 101 locations. Like they really did the work to figure it out. And the numbers are staggering. And there's a lot about this that I found interesting, because one of the things, I've never been to Japan. That's like a bucket list thing for me to do.
Yeah,
but
seems great.
They're really known for process efficiency and sort of drilling down and perfecting things in the service industry. And this is not perfect.
No. In fact, this one chain called Family Mart says that it has 56,000 tons of food waste per day. Like that is so much. The other thing that I also thought was really interesting was they have already reduce their food waste a lot. Like Japan in total had 6.4 million tons of food waste in 2012, down to 5.23 million tons in 2021. That's like a pretty big deal.
Yes.
I wanted more information on how they did it. I was like, they didn't really say how they eliminated 1 million tons of food waste, but you know.
And this is obviously a more complicated issue to get into, but there's always like hungry people and food waste existing side by side,
and
not just in Japan, but all over the world.
And they said in this article that oftentimes you think the food that you're donating is going to hungry people and it just like doesn't even get there. It's a totally broken system.
Yeah.
And often like extra food just gets thrown away, even if you donate it to like a soup kitchen or whatever. So it's just a really interesting story. And then there's this other chain called Lawson, which is actually started in America.
Yeah. I was shocked that Lawson and 7-Eleven are two of their biggest food chains. I was just like, wait, what?
Especially Lawson, I've never even heard of.
I thought they would do better than us there. Like, I didn't know, like, 7-Eleven, I find the food offerings stateside at 7-Eleven are pretty gross. Like, when you walk in, they've got those, like, rolling hot dogs and, like, chicken wings and pizza. Like, ugh, it all looks so nasty. It's got that distinct 7-Eleven smell.
Yeah.
And I would think that Japan would really do much better. And I'm hoping that's a better experience.
I think it probably is. They probably just bought the rights to use the name 7-Eleven, and it's probably different. But there's just one Lawson's. It's a green Lawson's. And this is, like, pretty interesting. It uses AI to predict what food people are going to want and how to stock their shelves so they don't overstock and therefore they have way less waste.
I think stores have been doing that for hundreds of years. I don't know if AI is not, I think like if you had like a general store in the Wild West in like 1789, okay, you would also do that.
Okay, but this apparently factors in the weather forecast, current
Ooh.
Events, and past sales.
Ooh.
So it does have an added level. It's not just customer behavior, but future forecasting, literally, of, you know, what the day is going to be like or whatever. So I thought that was pretty interesting,
actually.
Yeah, that
is cool.
That is what we Americans think of Japan to be, you know, is like using that kind of data to stock your Lawson's. Anyway, really good story. Check it out on BBC.com, written by Rachel Neuer.
Really well done story.
Okay, moving on. Do you know who Benny Blanco is? Oh, wait, I wanted to ask you a follow-up. How much would I have to pay you for you to have one of the hot dogs at 7-Eleven?
I mean,
what's your price?
That's the thing. There's a number for everything.
What's your price?
$39.
39. What, not 38?
Yeah. Nope, not 38 to no. 39's a yes.
Okay, interesting.
And I'd have to pick which one. Like, some of them are super gnarly. Like, a fried cheeseburger churro dog or whatever. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
Sounds so disgusting.
They have those.
I know.
They have cheeseburger hot dogs.
So gross, though. I think my price is, like, at least $50 and like, a barf bag for afterwards.
All right, I've got $50 right here.
Okay.
I do know who Benny Blanco is.
Okay, great. Because he's dating Selena Gomez, or did you know already?
The episode of Dave. You know that show?
Yes, he is in it.
Yes. It was a shocking episode.
I know him because I'm sort of obsessed with pop music writers, and he's a pretty eminent one. Also, I watched like all pop docs, and so a few years ago, Ed Sheeran had a pop doc about him, and Benny Blanco's in it, and he's like deathly afraid of flying, so he took a ship from New York to England instead of flying from New York to London. Yeah.
I like it.
Benny is really a character. Also,
he is. He's an interesting fellow.
He's a recurring character on my favorite non-Ringer podcast, Table Manners with Jesse and Lenny Ware. So anyway, that's a food podcast.
And just to interrupt, I've always liked the people behind all of your favorite music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's just like, oh, there's this guy named Benny Blanco who lives in LA, and he's actually the person who writes and produces all these songs and then gives them to Rihanna or whatever.
Totally.
The Dream is like that.
Yeah, The Dream. I mean, there's like, they're really,
Ed Sheeran,
tend to be really interesting people.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran's also star in his own, right? But he did write for One Direction, Taylor Swift. Anyway, Benny Blanco is a huge foodie. And he now has a cookbook, which is like a huge flex. It is called Open Wide, A Cookbook for Friends. And on his press tour, he's been talking about how people always ask him like for recipes, and now you can just get it in his cookbook. But the signature recipe in here is like basically born out of a mistake. And it's a huge fucking brag. He was given a Rolex by Ed Sheeran, and he accidentally deep fried the Rolex. But the Rolex is such a ironclad watch.
Survived.
It survives. Still works. And now this is just like his press tour is a giant Rolex advertisement.
Yes. And that's fine. But I also think that's like the story that's going to make the headlines. But I'm sure that there are actual recipes in there. I saw some latkes that he made.
No, he is like a real food guy. Like I've heard him on food podcasts and stuff. So like this is legit. I really like the cover of his cookbook. It looks really cool. And I don't know. I support Benny Blanco.
I like Benny Blanco as well.
So great job by him. Okay.
Dating Selena Gomez, right?
Yes, dating Selena Gomez. They seem quite happy. Is she in your life, Selena Gomez?
Do you know what? Me and Quincy started watching that show.
Only Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Building. Yeah, so I watched the first two episodes of that. And
she's,
I was like, look at Selena Gomez doing stuff.
You know, her beauty line, Rare Beauty, is like one of the most successful brands in the country.
It is like Fenty and like Honest Company and like whatever her beauty
Rare,
thing is.
Yeah.
Like this is how you make money nowadays.
Yeah, that and alcohol for these stars.
Yes.
It's like, that's like why Rihanna doesn't do music anymore. She's like, why put up with it? So she's like just minting dollars other ways.
Yeah.
She's doing great.
Love Rihanna.
Okay, moving on. There's a viral TikTok account and it's quite charming. It's called @JCHS Lunch Bunch. This is a school in
Kentucky.
It's called Johnson Central High School. And the teachers at this school have just started posting on TikTok what they're eating for lunch each day.
I mean, this is how we started our relationship, Julia.
Fire.
Just working together, yeah. Eating lunch together. So they all get together, I'm sure, in the teacher's lounge, and they discuss what they eat for lunch, because that's kind of what you do when you work in an environment like this, especially a teacher environment where you're separate and then congregate and then re-separate.
Totally. It's not like a collective work day.
Exactly.
And so they probably find some friendship in this. It's a really charming TikTok. You should check it out. I was thinking about it. I'm curious your perspective. I was thinking if I were a parent, I would of a kid at the school, I would love it. It would be like a window into seeing your kid's teacher without having to rely on your kid's narration. And also they're just kind of being human, eating leftovers.
Yeah. Yes.
And so often teachers are not seen as humans. I just thought a cool way.
Collection of parents, they're focused too much on this TikTok account.
Sure.
There is going to be that faction, but I would be on your side. I'd be like, oh, look at Miss Garner.
Yeah. It would be like,
she had meatballs last night from Trader Joe's.
I'd be happy to know who my kid's teacher was through what they're having for lunch.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just think it's a really cool way for it's pretty wholesome content. And you get to know someone who you otherwise would only know in a very specific role.
And I mean, I think we're bearing the lead a little bit here. And if you live outside of Kentucky, just come for the accents alone.
Totally.
The accents are so awesome.
It's also funny. A bunch of different outlets have covered this because it really has become very popular. So
I like when things on social media like this go viral, where they're not intended to be viral.
Yeah.
They're not we looked at the algorithm and reverse engineered this. Mr. Beast studied YouTube for 2 years before he was even on YouTube. It's they're not trying to do this. It's just so nice to look at that a lot of people enjoyed it.
Also, it's it's just a swath of Americans that often get overlooked, which is high school teachers at a public school.
Yes.
And that's a really important job. So it's cool.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to one of our favorite and most frequent topics. Olive oil. Don't you feel like we talk about it a lot?
Can we talk about the business of olive oil so much more than olive oil?
Well, it's funny though. I don't know if you know, but I just went to Italy. And I was thinking about how much olive oil I was having and would see olive trees and stuff.
Yep.
And I was this really is gasoline. It's just in fucking everything. And
it's
so,
everywhere.
And so I do
Spain
kind of,
was like that too.
Yeah, Spain even more so. And this is our story. Thanks to United for sending us to Spain, by the way. Spain, many countries, is having financial issues, a lot of inflation. Mm. And as a result, the Spanish government is temporarily eliminating the sales tax on olive oil overall. And, didn't occur to me that a certain product could be subject to government regulation that way, but I support it. And I didn't realize this either, despite the fact that we talk about olive oil business all the time. Spain is the biggest exporter of olive oil.
So what would you think it would be?
It's a great question. Probably Greece.
Yes, I would think Greece or Italy.
Yeah.
Because those are two places that I associate most with olive consumption, olive production.
Yeah, but it is Spain. And that tracks. When we were in Mallorca, we saw olive trees everywhere. All of our driving around was in through olive tree farms, and on Love Island, UK, tons of olive trees.
Yes.
So it totally makes sense. But the price of olive oil has increased there by 272% since 2020. A 5-liter bottle of olive oil can cost over 50 euros at a Spanish supermarket. That's a lot.
And one thing that they have done is when they say they're changing tax policies, a lot of times it's for corporations.
Yeah.
Like a trickle-down economic sort of approach. But this is no. This is for
individuals.
The consumers.
Yes.
When you go to the supermarket, you will get a cheaper bottle of olive oil, not just the import and outport taxes and whatnot.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Next story. The oldest wine has been discovered, and also in Spain.
We do a lot of these stories, too.
Carmona, Spain. We sure do. I'm so confused by this, but a really ancient cask of some liquid was found in Carmona, Spain, and they did some testing on it. It's 2,000 years old, so it's from the year 24. Thereabouts. They did some pH testing on it, and it turned out to be wine, and it had human remains in it. And apparently the human remains contributed to the fermenting of allowed it to stay for this long. I understand an airtight container should, help against evaporation. I did not know that something could be so airtight that it could keep wine for 2,000 years.
And human remains.
And why
would those two things be kept in the same place?
I feel like this is some kind of sacrifice. You put the remains into wine and then give it to the gods and something like that.
Oh, there you go. Some Dionysian sort of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's my take.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it a lot.
Thank you so much.
I thought it was a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah,
I was just like, oh, this is like we had Uncle George's ashes on the counter. We had some wine. Things got weird. Might have been some mixing in there.
Oh, man.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. I was like, this is not intentional.
I thought it was some kind of ritual or something. Yeah.
Anyway. Chop off a finger, give it to the wine gods?
Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of like human sacrifice back then. Okay. There was.
What's your number for chopping off a finger?
0. Oh, sorry. Infinite. I would never do it.
Oh, yeah. I would do it for sure.
No, you wouldn't. That's like
life-changing money, like $50 million. No. I'm chopping the left pinky off right now.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is like sort of how like you'd love to die from a shark attack. You're like, great story. Like,
yeah.
Lose a limb to a shark.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. All right. Next story.
If any sharks are listening.
Next story. I think we mentioned this. Cheez-Its and Hidden Valley Ranch have crackers coming out together. It's almost time to get them. And they're going to be a hot commodity. Jacoby, how do you get them?
You have to go to the Cheez-Its shop online, which I did, of course, because I wanted to buy some. And sold out. Couldn't get them. But however, I found some really interesting items at the Cheez-Its online shop.
Cheez-Its is making such a huge push.
They kind of are. I think our producer, Mike, has a Cheez-Its sweatshirt.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have one too. What did you find out?
Well, first of all, one of my favorite products was an inflatable pool toy. This is one giant Cheez-It that you can float on.
That's a great raft.
Yeah, I was like, that's perfect. And they also have a Cheez-Its Hawaiian shirt, which I thought was pretty cool.
Should you get it and start wearing it to record this pod?
No.
Okay. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, but I did find it really interesting. You can also get Cheez-Its. I think it's a really interesting way of shopping for Cheez-Its. Like, I'm going to the source. I'm not going to the supermarket. I'm going to Cheez-Its.com, and I'm bulk ordering Cheez-Its.
They've got to love it if you do that. The margin must be so high for them. I bet.
Cut out the middleman. Go straight to the Cheez-Its source.
They do have some cool shirts now that I'm looking.
They do, yeah. Right? Like the retro hoodie.
Yeah, and also like instead of like a patch, they have like on your pocket, like a patch pocket, they have a Cheez-It logo.
And they have a beanie with just a Cheez-It cracker on it. I honestly was like, if anyone listening to this pod, don't go to the Cheez-Its merch store because you'll end up buying something. You will.
It is cool.
It is, right?
The Cheez-It OG cracker beanie, that's cool.
Yeah, like a Cheez-It beanie.
I like a lot of this stuff.
For all the Cheez-Heads out there.
This is cool stuff.
Yeah, but also, the Hidden Valley Ranch stuff sold out.
Fuck.
I know, I want some.
I wonder if you really could ever get it. Like, I would like someone to call in 646-STEW-138. If you see or know
in the wild
of anyone having these Cheez-It Ranch crackers, let us know. Because
yes.
Who the fuck
they sound bought them? So good.
Yeah.
So like, it's like wheels on suitcases. It's like, why didn't we have this 30 years ago?
Yeah. It's just like, would love to hear of a natural sighting. You know?
It's also, it's not like Nike shoes. Like, these don't have to be limited. I know you can make a lot of them.
Totally.
Give them to us. Why is this limited? Why is this so hard to get? Why are you making us talk about it on Food News, but I can't eat it on Food News?
I know.
News?
I really want to try it. And also, I would like to know someone who has it. I'm going to be shocked if we can find anyone.
Someone call 646-STEW-138 and let me know if you see these in the wild.
Next, New Amsterdam vodka. Do you know it?
Yeah.
I've never had a New Amsterdam spirit.
You probably have, but you didn't ask for it. It was like in the well at a bar or something.
Just, that's like the well vodka of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
They've combined with Hot Ones for a hot pepper vodka. I feel like Hot Ones has monetized so well. They have made so many products.
Yes, they really have.
They have the hot sauces, obviously.
I went to Shake Shack and had a Hot Ones burger one time. They're out there. They're out in the streets.
Like, great job by their sales team.
It really is.
I have no interest in trying this. It sounds gross.
No.
I guess maybe for a spicy margarita, but that's with tequila.
That's tequila. And I just don't, I really like spicy foods. I do not like spicy drinks. A lot of times if I order a spicy margarita, it's a little too spicy, or a Bloody Mary, it's a little too spicy. I find myself not enjoying it. I like fight myself to drink it.
I forgot about you fighting with yourself over eating.
I fight food a lot. Food fight.
Okay, next story of the day. Starbucks is getting into the energy drink space. And you might think to yourself, aren't they in the energy drink space by making coffee with caffeine in it? So.
There's no shortage of caffeinated drinks at a Starbucks.
However, they have a new beverage, which will have up to 205 milligrams of caffeine in it. That is the same as 6 cans of Coke and like 1¾ cans of Red Bull.
Oof.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I will say the cans of La Colombe cold brew that I like have 180 milligrams of caffeine.
So this isn't that far off for you.
So I've been there. but I don't know that I recommend it. But moreover, I'm going to need Starbucks to start disclosing the caffeine quantity of their regular coffee.
That's a good point.
I need to know how we're stacking
up
here.
If I have a triple latte,
how much caffeine
is in there? I would say it's comparable. Because one of the things when I saw this story, I was like, I've never gone to Starbucks and been like, you know what? We need to up the caffeine quotient in these beverages. Because like alcohol, if you have too much caffeine, you start to feel bad.
Right.
You know, like, you know that jittery feeling where you're just like, and then you crash later and you're like, oh man, I had too much coffee.
Here's what I'm getting. A grande Starbucks cafe latte contains 66.2 milligrams of caffeine.
Oh, wow. So that's like three lattes?
Yes.
What are they doing here? Do you know one of the weirdest things about this product is? If you go to the app and order it, you can only get a venti. It's one of the weirdest qualifications. They're like, we have a super caffeinated beverage and you can only get a large.
Also, they're doing this at the time where Panera is being sued.
That is one of the big like sub stories of this product.
Yeah, that Panera has similar beverages and they're being sued for death, for killing people with their caffeine quantity. This episode is brought to you by Chase Sapphire Reserve. With a Chase Sapphire Reserve card, your dining experiences are about to get a whole lot better. It was made for adventurous eaters like you. You can earn 3 times the points at restaurants, including takeout and eligible delivery. Plus, you'll get access to more Sapphire dining events across the country, like at the Infatuations EatsCon, a food experience built in the spirit of a music festival, but with restaurants as headliners. You and your taste buds will be so happy. Check out everything this card has to offer. Learn more at chase.com/sapphire reserve. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Fantasy Football, who's been dominating fantasy football since forever. Football season almost here. And listen, you can never, ever, ever be in too many fantasy leagues. I'm living proof. I've been playing fantasy football, I think, since 1991. Is that possible? Well, Yahoo. I mean, imagine back in the day, we used to have to mail stat sheets to each other. That's how we found out whether we won or lost the week. Now, 2024, you have the newly redesigned Yahoo Fantasy app. It's smarter, faster, more fun to use. Such easy features. You can set your winning lineup faster every week. You can get advice and analysis from the best fantasy football experts. And with Yahoo, there's another reason to join a league. A chance at cold, hard cash. Go to yahoosports.com/TheRinger. Someone will win $1 million. All you have to do is play in a private Yahoo Fantasy League and enter the sweepstakes by September 5th. Enter now at yahoosports.com/TheRinger. No purchase necessary. Open in all 50 U.S. states and D.C. for ages 18 plus. And September 5th, 2024. See official rules at yahoosports.com/TheRinger.
Okay, so true story. I was scared to try tampons because I didn't know if they'd be able to protect like pads. Took me a few tries, but once inserted properly, tampons shouldn't hurt. If you feel it, it's not in far enough. Believe me, it changed my life. Like pads, tampons offer up to 100% leak-free protection, whether you're on the go or chilling at home. Now, I do and wear whatever I want on my period, thanks to the freedom and flexibility I get with adding Tampax to my routine. Learn more at Tampax.com.
On that note, let's get into today's taste test, in which we are trying this ultra-caffeinated
beverage.
You got the venti.
This sounds dangerous. This sounds like a bad idea. Let's get involved. This is the Tropical Citrus Energy Drink from Starbucks. I tried to order it using the app, because you know I use the Starbucks app
all
the time.
Of course, yeah.
I had a lot of trouble. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the default setting gives you a grande. So I just couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. And it says in all caps.
In your defense, that'd be really hard to figure
out. Yeah, I was just like, I just clicked on the drink and I clicked order and it was like, there's a problem. And it wouldn't tell me what the problem was. And finally I was like, oh, it has to be a venti, which is again, a weird
thing. So weird.
Thing.
It's so weird. And
it's not pre-made. And it's got so much caffeine. Why did I only get a large? It's one of the weirdest things about this.
You brought in 2 cups for us. Let's just share.
Yeah, fine.
Just easier. You go
so
first.
I wanted to get this particular flavor because I think this is sort of a direct shot
tropical
at Red
citrus.
Bull. Because if you were to say what flavor
minutes.
Is Red Bull.
Oh my God, I wouldn't be able to answer.
It's Red Bull flavored,
I would
right?
Say it's Red Bull.
Yeah. You can tell me it's like a unicorn tail. I'd be like, all right. Like, I don't know. Like, there's like the peacock feathers. I don't know what Red Bull flavor is. But it gives you wings. All right. I'm going to go first.
Okay, you're going to try it.
You tell me about what it looks like.
It looks like a green tea. So you could be really confused. Like if you think you're ordering a green tea at Starbucks and you grab this instead, you're going to be really fucking wired.
It tastes good.
I'm taking a sip. For some reason in my head, I would expect this to be carbonated.
I think it is lightly carbonated. I got it a while ago.
That does taste good, but I can't imagine having any more. But it is.
Oh, I'm going to have some more.
It's a good tropical citrus. It tastes pretty artificial.
Punchy.
But tasty.
Like tropical punchy, like pineapple punchy, pineapple peaches.
It doesn't taste at all like there's juice in it. Like it's all.
No, this
all
is
chemical.
This is, I think that sort of in this market, they've seen Celsius get big and they've seen Red Bull get big.
Is Celsius caffeinated?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never had it.
You've never had Celsius? Sometimes no. Your love of beverages and beverage blind spots should not exist in the same person.
I'm so sorry. Wow. Celsius also, yes, okay. 200 milligrams of caffeine per can. So it's the same.
Similar.
So this is what people are going for. 200 milligrams in,
I guess,
in their beverage.
I'll crush a Celsius before a basketball game and not think twice about it.
Well, that's caffeine is dehydrating. So be careful.
Well, I drink water too.
Okay. Huh. I never knew that people were having Celsius for the caffeine. I just thought it was like some kind of energy beverage.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I think most energy beverages
energy
are powered
caffeine?
By caffeine. No, they do.
That's great branding that I'm even asking the question.
Yes.
The whole market.
Exactly. But a lot of times I'll be like, with taurine and Ginkgo biloba or whatever. But at the end of the day, they all have caffeine in it. They just might have other things as well that are known to be sort of like energy-giving herbs.
Wow. Apparently Celsius Heat has 300 milligrams of caffeine.
That's a lot.
A lot, yeah. I don't think that's good for you.
That can't.
Just
and also, it's like it's also in like 6 ounces. Like this is at least like 20 ounces of liquid.
Yes.
Between, you know, like,
you definitely have to pee after you drink that.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
All right, let's get into our personal food news. Last week, I forgot to tell you a really funny story, and it has to do with my trip to Italy. I promise I won't mention it again after this.
First of all, you went to Italy, and we have a food podcast. You're allowed to mention it.
Thank you.
Guilt-free.
Okay.
As much as you want.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Okay, so on my last night of my trip, I was in Rome, and I was by myself, and there's this restaurant called Roscioli. I think that's how you pronounce it. It actually recently opened in New York, has like a tasting menu, but it's like pretty hip in Rome, and I was able to get a reservation at the last minute for one sitting at the bar. 9:30 p.m. reservation, so late.
Love sitting at the bar.
By myself.
Love sitting at the bar
by
myself.
Me too. And I also brought my book.
Of course.
I was like,
this is ideal.
I thought so too. So I sit down. It's a small restaurant. It has like a Michelin star, so like it's, you know, popular. It's cool. It's not fancy though. And just to be clear, my meal there was really good.
Do people dress better in Italy at places like that?
No.
Okay.
No. Also, right now in Italy, there's a lot of Americans. So like any place you've read about will have Americans there.
Yeah.
I sit down at the bar. I have my book. I'm about to order my, you know, like a millionth Aperol spritz of the trip. And this guy comes in. He's a little bit younger than me. He's like with a backpack and a suitcase. It's a small restaurant. He's like just kind of like making a mess like in the middle of this restaurant. Mm-hmm. I found it off-putting, and I was like, ugh, I'm just like him, a tourist too. Like, can't we all be cooler? So then he sits down at the bar next to me, and they seat you like at your specific seat at the bar. They're like, here's your seat. So
okay, it's not just like, yeah, go to the bar.
It's like a pretty managed situation because it's small.
They walk you
and
over,
popular.
They pull the chair out for you. They're like, you're at seat 9.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So he sits down next to me. This is like a popular spot. Like I was on a flight recently, and personal food news adjacent. It's also a food story. Me and the woman next to me had both like pilfered food from the lounge before getting on our flight. And like our food for the flight was the free food from the lounge. And so we were like talking about that together, how it was like funny. We'd both stolen food, not really stealing, but taking food.
Yeah, stocking
plane.
Up.
And I don't know how we got to this, but I was like, yeah, I'm going to Rome. And she was like, oh my God, you have to go to this place. Like, and that's where I was having dinner. So I sit down, I'm like looking through the menu. Also, I'm on like day 9 of being in Italy. So I'm like, I just don't know how much more I can eat. Like, you know, I'm really happy to be here. It's been great. But like, I'm really at peak mozzarella here. Yeah. Peak pasta.
Yeah.
And this guy sitting next to me sits down. He was like, are you here by yourself? And I was like, yep, I am. And he was like, would you like to order together? And I was like,
what?
He was like, you know, I'm definitely going to get the carbonara and I'm really interested in this. And, you know, maybe we could just order together and share everything. And I was like, no, I really don't want to.
Yeah, no.
And he was shocked and like really disappointed. Like he really wanted to maximize the number of things he could taste and was relying on me. And he was so surprised at this restaurant, I would say no. And then he was like, so is this the beginning of your vacation or the end? And I was like, oh, it's the end. And he was like, I came here for work and this is now I'm on me time. And he just like really, and actually he said that before he asked. That was his opener. And then he was like, do you want to share? And I said,
were there flirty vibes?
No. It was simply about maximizing food.
It was about, I'm going to be at this restaurant once in my life. I want to get as many dishes as possible. I understand what he's doing.
Yeah.
I get that part, but I understand more your response.
Thank you. I was like, am I the asshole?
You're not.
But I just was like, I cannot do it. And also I don't want to have carbonara. I'm sorry. Like I, you might think that's the holy grail, but like I just don't want that right now.
And also, it's also about expectations.
Yes.
So like you were there and you've been traveling with someone up to that point.
Yeah.
You've got your book with you. You're expecting a nice Juliet solo experience. You got a last minute reservation.
Exactly.
At the bar. They walk you over and sit at the bar. So you're locked into this experience that you are about to have.
Yes.
And then this guy he's got the backpack and the rolling suitcase.
If he had been like less of like an embarrassment, I maybe would have considered it.
Yes.
But I was just like, he's too much of a mess. Absolutely not.
It's not what you do, it's how you do it.
And also,
there's a way he could have convinced you to go along with this thing.
And I had already been like, you know, I'm on my ninth night of having Italian food in
Italy.
Splitting
it with other people.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm good. I also like eaten so much. I'm good. Just like, I'm taking leftovers. They're coming with me on the plane. Moral of the story is I bring food on the plane. But he was really upset.
I feel like I ruined
his meal.
No, you did not. He would have ruined your meal.
Yes.
And I completely support you in this action.
Also, I would have talked to him.
And, that part is huge. If there's flirty vibes, then sure, you know. But that part's
simply
huge.
Simply, it was transactional about
and
food.
And also, I think he's kind of taking advantage of you.
Thank you.
He's got this idea that he wants the carbonara.
Yeah.
And that you do too.
Yeah.
Want half a carbonara. And if you don't, now you're eating half a carbonara and paying for half a carbonara
exactly.
that you don't want.
I know. And like, what, we're going to like split the bill? Like, just like both put our cards down?
I guess. I mean, that was the only way to do it.
Yeah, definitely the only way. It was so off-putting. And I was just like, please. And then I had to sit next to him for my meal.
Then you just kind of gave him turn your shoulder and read your book.
I was reading the hardest I've ever read to make it clear that I was not available for conversation.
I understand how you can like work out hard, how you can work hard. How do you read hard?
I was like, with every bite, I was like staring at a page. So there's no room for conversation.
Yeah.
I was just like, absolutely not.
Did you say goodbye at the end?
No.
I think you had to say goodbye.
I think he was mad at me. It was not like he wanted to like hear about my meal. He only wanted to share. He wanted to be able to order more.
God, we have to find his podcast where he tells his version of these events.
I tried to like figure out his deal because he was like opened a notebook that had like a logo on it, but it was like an Italian university. And I was like, oh, I guess he was like working there this week or something.
Oh.
He said he was there for work. Anyway, that's my personal food news.
All right. My personal food news is it's not Italian based.
Okay.
It's just a personal life decision that I've made. I'm in the middle of making, I should say. I'm out on oat milk.
Oh, nice. It's pointless.
I'm just out on it.
If you're not lactose intolerant, it's pointless.
It doesn't taste that good. It's like not that good for you.
Yeah, it's really
high
in fat.
And I've been doing tons of oat milk all like spring, summer long. I've been doing oat milk lattes forever. This Starbucks lady today was like, she saw me come in. She's like,
no oat milk?
She's like, where? She like kind of panicked a little bit.
Do you think you had a personality switch?
No, she was like, because she didn't make my drink.
Oh.
And she was like, what did you, huh? I was like, no, I'm off it.
Nice. There's no reason to drink oat milk if you don't have a problem with lactose.
I find that it tastes better than almond milk.
I definitely agree with that, but I just recommend milk. That's my take.
Yeah, milk is good, but I find that I don't think I'm lactose intolerant, but I think as I get older, the milk makes more of an impact on my stomach. Yes.
Humans are the only mammals that drink milk after infancy, so it's like actually not normal to drink it.
Hmm.
So that makes sense.
Okay.
All right, let's get into today's listener food news.
Hey, Juliet and Jacoby. This is Allie from Chicago, longtime listener, first time caller. And your voicemail just made me so happy. I love you guys separately and as a pair. Anyway, personal food news. My husband and I were out to dinner at a nice Italian restaurant. They brought us a lovely assortment of breads as a starter. And I posed the question to him, what is your Mount Rushmore of breads? And I'm curious what y'all's Mount Rushmore of breads is. Love you guys.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Okay, I have a number one with a bullet.
A number one bread. This isn't brand. This is bread types.
Just bread type, yeah.
Wow. This is hard for me.
Okay.
Your number one is going to be Baguette.
No.
Okay.
It's focaccia. I love focaccia.
Really?
Love.
I don't love focaccia.
Ugh, I love it. Number two is a roti, like an Indian roti.
Yeah.
Those are one and two for me. I would say brioche is a three. I know you don't agree. Brioche slash challah. They're kind of similar.
That's cake. That's not bread.
That's bread. Number four is like a really just like moist white bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yum. And I think that's it. Mount Rushmore is four.
Mount Rushmore is four. I'll just answer this by saying if I could shoot bread out of my fingers and not my thumb.
Not your thumb,
and
yeah.
Not my thumb. Which, because on a previous episode, we were asked if we could shoot beverages out of our fingers.
It was, one of my favorite
questions.
Incredible, yeah.
So I'm just
if
we ever get a question like this, it's always going to be, can you shoot? If I could shoot bread out of my fingers, one of mine would be a really well-done dinner roll.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Like a Parker roll, yeah.
Yeah, just like a normal dinner roll. It's just kind of like essentially like a small square baguette, right?
Yeah.
That'd be that. A baguette would be another for sure. If I'm shooting it out of my fingers, just to switch it up, I would do like a cinnamon raisin bread.
Just to have the
variety there.
Good pick.
And
great toasted.
And finally, I would probably do, for like sandwich purposes, I would do sort of like a hearty, nutty, like 9-grain kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yum.
For toasting and whatnot.
Okay.
So I'd have sort of like boring, plain, but good on my index and my middle finger.
Mm.
And then my ring finger and my pinky would be a little more party-ish.
Okay. Interesting. We didn't mention the Kaiser roll. I'm not putting this in my Mount Rushmore, but I feel like a Kaiser roll is like so overrepresented in my life. I felt a little bad not acknowledging it. It's just very present.
One of the things I like at these fancy restaurants is when the server places the basket of breads on their arm, like they're holding a football, and they tilt it towards you, and they have a pair of tongs in the other hand.
Yeah, you point to what you want.
And they're sort of like, they have a selection, and they're like, which bread would you like? These are the selection that we have here. I prefer that to them putting a basket in the middle of the table.
Okay. You're fancy.
I just like it.
Great question. Thank you for calling
and
for
listening.
Thank you so much. We love you too. We also want to thank our producer, Mike Wargon. We will be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.